Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
We're awake.
We're here.
We're awake and here. That's good, I guess. Well, according to Jim, I won't get to sleep today, so.
That'll be a little more difficult anyway.
Yeah, well, I got a couple other deacons in here, so. All right, if you would, please turn to my favorite book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Chapter 20. Have you ever thought about heaven? What it'd be like? We have a lot of good ideas. We have a lot of things to think about. Have you thought about what happens to those who don't believe? What does the Bible say about that? Man was given a choice. In the beginning, he was given one stipulation. Just one. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But of course, being humans, we can resist. And we sinned. The Bible tells us there's a heaven and there's a hell. Those who believe have eternity in heaven. Those who don't believe have eternity in hell. But what happens after the millennial reign? What happens after Satan's cast into the lake of fire, after his final attempt to overthrow God? For the believers, we're safe. We're in heaven. We're with Jesus forever and ever. But for those that don't believe, the scriptures, as we set the scene, city of Jerusalem, the nations gathered around to destroy her. Everybody's waiting for that final battle. Scripture in Revelation chapter 20, verse 9 says, "And they went up in the breadth of the earth and encompassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, we think we get tormented here at home. Our kids don't listen. Our teachers are teaching God only knows what. Our spouses don't listen to us. We don't get along with our neighbors. Is that torment? That's just life. When the trump sounds and Christ comes in the clouds to take his church home with him, our spirits will all be in heaven. The dead shall rise. Those who are alive will rise with them to be given glorious new bodies and live with Christ forever and ever. But that leaves 7 years of tribulation for all those who are left behind. And we can read through Revelation and see what all the troubles and trials are coming their way. And we just thank God that it's not coming our way. We don't wish that upon anyone, but the fact is, not everyone will accept Christ. But after Satan is cast into the lake of fire, we have the great white throne judgment. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things, which were written in the books, according to their works. If we have more than one book, it says the books were opened, then another book was opened, which is the book of life. These dead are the non-believers, and they're judged by their works, according to the books. The sea gave up the dead, which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire was never meant for man. We were never supposed to be cast into the lake of fire. But with our own judgment, our own decisions, our own choices, we choose God and eternal life, or we choose not God, eternal damnation in the lake of fire. We don't want anyone to go to the lake of fire. It's God's will that none should perish. But we know that not everyone will accept Christ. And as the dead are judged by their works, the believers are not judged by their works. We're judged by one decision. Did we accept Christ? Were we cleansed by the blood? Are we forgiven? If we choose Christ, we are. Our place is in heaven, with Christ, with God, the new earth and the new heavens. And that's a good thing, since we know where the non-believers are going. Chapter 21 says, heaven on earth. From what I see of this earth, I ain't too sure I want heaven here, but we'll see. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. That sounds like a more beautiful heaven than what we have here on earth today. But we notice that there's be no more sea. So how will we survive? Don't sound like we need too much water. Or maybe it'll be a most Edenic new earth. In Eden, there wasn't rain, there wasn't water. The morning dew made everything grow. The humans were just there to tend the garden, behold the animals, live in peace. with the creation. So maybe New Earth will look like Eden, lush, green. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. There's our water. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, abominable and murderers, and whoremongers and sorcerers, and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So while we're living in peace, lush vegetation, fed by God, given water by God, it's pretty much cut and dried, one side or the other. There is no gray. You can't find your way up to heaven once you've passed eternity. You're stuck. As believers, we wish that for everybody. But as unbelievers, they think it's folly. They think we're weak, believing in a God we've never seen, a Jesus we've never talked to, a world that never will be. It's just a pipe dream. Nothing can be that great. Nothing can be that bad. We just live 70, 80, 100 years, then we die. It's all over. But we'll see. We'll see who's right, who's wrong. I know which side of the fence I want to be on. And I hope everybody in this room wants to be there with me. I've seen some things that I would rather not have seen. Just listen to the news. Watch your local TV. It's not good, but it's going to get better. It says we have a new Jerusalem, a new city. If you look at Jerusalem right now, it's in the midst of war. The Gaza Strip is a lightning rod. We have two sides looking for peace. There's one in the middle that just wants to cause pain and destruction, all because Israel is a state. God says he will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. That's a mighty big statement. Whether we like the Jews or not, it's our job to keep them, protect them, for they are God's chosen. Right, wrong, indifferent, it makes no difference. They are God's chosen. Why? Because he chose them. He didn't choose the Palestinians. He didn't choose the Europeans. He didn't choose the Americans, which, by the way, is a conglomerate of Europeans, Palestinians, and assorted other creatures. And we've all pushed out native peoples, no matter what country we're in. The Israelites pushed out the Palestinians. The Palestinians pushed out the Israelites. The Europeans pushed out the Americans, natives. Everybody's looking for something. We have that something right here in front of us, and that's Christ. New Jerusalem says, there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the spirit, or in the spirit, to a great and high mountain. He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her height was like, her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, the 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So that just tells us that the Israelites are still God's people, even in the New Jerusalem. On the east gate, or on the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So we have the Israelites, we have the apostles. The Israelites were God's people from eons ago. Once Jesus came, it was up to 12 men, the 12 apostles, to carry on his story. And it's still carried on to this day. Different faiths, different preachers, but it's still carried on. The message of eternal life, eternal damnation, your choice. That's a big choice. We can choose to have steak, or we can choose to have chicken. We can choose to live in the city, we can choose to live in the country. But the biggest choice we'll ever make, Christ or no Christ. That is the question. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, the gates thereof and the walls thereof. The city was four square, the length as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and height are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation, jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysophthus, and the 11th, jasper, and the 12th, an amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as if transparent glass. I don't know that I've ever seen gold that clear. I've seen a lot of shiny gold, but clear glass? That would be something to see. And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb of the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Could you imagine a world without a sun? No moon. We'll get that for a few minutes in April when we have the total eclipse in the middle of the daytime. It's going to be dark. That'll just give us a glimpse. We know the sun will come back out as soon as the moon moves. But it'd be something to see. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So evidently, it's just not going to be a city. There's going to be a new earth. Or where else would all the rest of the people be? The Jews, those saved in the millennium. That's something else to think about. If the city is for the church, the bride of Christ, and we live in the city, and we just read where they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There has to be something on the outside to bring in. I don't know what that'd be. Fruit, vegetables, life. I don't know. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. Yeah, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Book of Life has always been a mystery. Christ says at some point, you know, depart from me, for I never knew you. It says their names were blotted out of the book of life. Now, to my understanding, if you blot something out, there would have to be something there to blot out. So evidently, these names were written in the book of life. But when they perished without God, without accepting Jesus, that's when the names were blotted out. That's a sad fate, knowing that the names were there. All they had to do was accept Christ. But they didn't, and their names were blotted out. Therefore, they're in the lake of fire. What a sad fate. But we all have that choice. That's ours to accept or deny. We don't have to be baptized. We don't have to take communion. We don't have to come to church. But we like coming to church so we can fellowship with other believers of like mind. We like to be baptized to show our obedience to our Lord. We take communion in remembrance of what he's done for us. Not to be saved, we're already saved. The minute we accept Christ, we're saved. The rest of it is just for the glory of God, for remembering what he's done, for showing the world that we were buried in baptism, rose to new life. We've changed, but we still have the old man in us, our sin nature. We still make mistakes, we still screw up. We don't do what we should do what we shouldn't do. We get angry at our kids, we get mad at our spouses. We get hostile with our coworkers. But we're still saved. Christ is our salvation. Heaven's our new home. Sometimes I can't wait to get there. But there's a long way to go. Evidently, because I'm still here. We are the feet and the hands and the mouthpiece of Christ. It's up to us. There's people we work with, people we see, our families who don't believe. It's up to us to tell them. We don't have to drive it down their throat. Just be nice. Be yourself. Show them Jesus through you. If you see somebody in trouble on the side of the road, give them a hand. If you see somebody struggling in the grocery store, give them a hand. You know, when I was a kid, if I was in a grocery store and a little old lady couldn't reach a can of soup on the third shelf, I'd better be getting it for her or I was going to get backhanded. I was taught respect. I was taught to help when I could, where I could. I was taught it didn't matter what color, what sex, what age. You just helped. We helped each other. Neighbor gets hurt, you go mow their yard. There's nothing to it. Neighbor has an emergency, needs somebody to watch your kids, come play with the kids for a couple hours. You don't expect to get paid for it. There may come a day when you need a hand. And you hope somebody's there to give it to you. Whether your house burns down, your dog gets run over, you know, your wife gets sick and you need to take her to the hospital, there's lots of things that could happen. We could all use a hand once in a while. And that's showing the love of Christ. And that's our due diligence. We're not here to put anybody down because they don't accept. We're not here to crow about our acceptance. As followers of Christ, we are given the privilege of telling others about Christ. We are given the privilege of showing others Christ through our works and deeds. So as we go out in the world today and the rest of the week, let's just remember that people look at Christians a little different. They look to see any flaw. They look to see how they can condemn you. And you're going to make mistakes. We all do. But be quick to apologize for your mistakes. Own up to your mistakes. Tell Christ you're sorry and try to do better the next time. That's all we can do. But just remember, there's others watching. And that's the scary part. We can't go through life scared to do anything for fear of messing up. But we can go through life showing the light of Christ in us so that others may see that, yeah, he's a Christian, but he can have fun. They go bowling, they go roller skating, they play softball. They have fellowship and breakfast, they eat. The women get together and study. The groups get together and study. They can have fun and still be Christian. Imagine that. Doesn't have to be in a bar. Doesn't have to be in a hostile setting. We had fun Friday night at the dartball tournament. We had 13 teams, plus wives, kids, and assorted other friends. And it was a blast. We didn't have to wait too long between games. We got to renew old acquaintances. And fellowship just flowed. I like that. Fellowship. Being around other believers. They may not believe exactly as you do. They may have their own opinions on certain things. But when it comes down to it, the question is, Do you believe in Christ or not? Your choice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the group gathered here today. Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we go our separate ways and allow us to show the light of Christ in our own lives to those around us who we may or may not know. We know other people are watching. We know that the story is so unlike anything else. Believe and live, deny eternal damnation. We can't lead everyone to life, but we can show them what it's like. And with you, Christ, all things are possible. We sow the seeds, you water, the Holy Spirit endows, and we have a new believer. Lord, as we go our separate ways, we ask that you would be with us in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. In closing, let's turn to hymn number 400. Have thine own way, Lord. Oh, okay. Wrong book. 56, God will take care of thank you for being here today, and just remember that Christ is our Savior. We are to work for Him while we're here, but He will take care of us afterwards. And Gene, would you close us in prayer, sir?
You know, Lord, we thank you so much for the day that we have to come into your house and to worship you and to hear your word. We thank you for your word that reveals to us that that in the end your will be done and we'll receive our reward. We ask you to go with us into the week and bring us safely back again. In thy name we pray, amen. Amen. Okay.